What up, Canes fans? Before we get started, just wanted to talk to you guys about the Tank Brewery real quick. The Tank is located in the heart of Miami in Dade County at 5100 Northwest 72nd Avenue. This place is awesome. I've been there. The beer is outstanding. The food is great. Whether you're watching the Canes game, the Heat game there with your buddies, you're having a guys' night out, or you're having a date night with the missus, it's a great place to hang out. So you can order online at thetankbrewingtakeout.com or call them at 786-801-1554 for delivery or pickup. And here's the thing. If you use the promo code TANK4SUP, you will get free delivery on game days. And so that is TANK4SUP, the number four. Not spell it out, but TANK4SUP. So go check out our friends at the Tank Brewing. They've been great to us. So take it away, Jordan.
All right. Also, we want you guys to check out our guy, Stickers by AB. That's at STICKERZ by AB. You know, I've been ordering a bunch of stuff from him. You know, we have a collaboration sticker that has our logo on it. So make sure you're checking him out. Give him a follow on Twitter. He's just a good dude, and he's helping us design our merch. So yeah, man, it's make sure you're supporting the good people that help us out here on Fours Up.
You're listening to the Fours Up podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up? What up? What up, Canes fans? It is Tuesday, October 6th. It is Clemson week. We haven't spoke to you guys in about a week. We need a little break during the bye week, but we are back. It is game week. The Canes are 3-0. Jordan, how are we feeling, man? How are you doing?
We're doing good, man. You know, like, I mean, personal life, I'm sad because, like, Eddie Van Halen passed away. He was, like, a huge influence in my life. But it's your birthday. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, man. It's just another day. I think birthdays,
yeah,
they kind of just start to blend together as you get older. But really appreciate everyone wishing me a happy birthday, and
yeah,
I'm celebrating it by just having a Busch Light and watching Friday Night Lights all day, and kind of just hanging out.
Nice. Yeah, man. Like, so when I was 22. I was traveling Europe on my, you know, like for a few weeks, and my birthday was in the middle of that. So I woke up in Amsterdam. I had lunch in Brussels, Belgium, and then I ate dinner in Paris, and then was like standing under the Eiffel Tower as the lights were going off.
Holy hell.
Yeah. And then for my 23rd birthday, I saw like my very favorite band in the world at the time was in Salt Lake City on my birthday. And so I saw them, and that was like back-to-back birthdays. Mm-hmm. And dude, ever since then, like, my birthday's just been a massive letdown. Because like, how do you top those two things? Like, how do you top the first one? And then like, but then the next year, you know, like seeing my favorite band with my brother and my closest friend at the time, like that felt like a solid way to follow that up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So 3 years ago, I was watching Daryl Langham make the catch against Florida State on the day before my birthday. I was in Florida. And then 2 years ago, I was at Hard Rock watching the Canes come back from 27-7 to beat Florida State. That was on my birthday. And then last year on my birthday, I watched the Canes break my heart against Virginia Tech. And now I'm just laying in bed in Utah. And honestly, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, probably.
Like, I just, like, everyone keeps asking me, what do I want to do? What do I want to do? Like, you want to go out? You want to, like, go party? I'm like, honestly, I kind of just want to play some Madden until about 1 in the morning and not talk to anybody and and chill.
I feel that, man. Like, you know, I mean, as I get older and stuff, and, you know, like, I've been in a relationship with my girlfriend for, like, almost 3 years now, but when she goes out and like I have a night to myself, probably 70% of the time that I have free time, I don't want to spend it with anyone, you know?
Yeah.
Like younger me would have been like getting all my boys together and, you know, planning a fun night. But now at this point in my life, I'm just like, yeah, dude, like video games by myself and a sleeve of cold Mountain Dews and like some hummus. Like, that sounds great.
Like, yeah, I don't know if it's just me becoming an old man, but yeah. I'm just tired all the time and
yep.
I don't want anyone to bother me. And yeah. I just want to like take a big nap. And
yeah,
it's weird because we have like the biggest game that we've had in years coming yeah. up on Saturday, and everyone is so excited for it, and I'm excited, but I feel like my intensity and my excitement is not matching those of the other Canes fans.
Yeah.
I think it's not that I'm not excited, it's just that I mean,
we've been hyped for 9 months, man. Like, exactly. Like, that's another thing is I don't think people realize how difficult it is twice a week to get hyped about the Canes when they haven't practiced in 6 months.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So I think we're both running on fumes right now, but you know, hopefully this Clemson game injects some life into us.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's that. It's just I don't know. Like it's just another football game. Like I just got a quiet confidence. I'm not going into Clemson thinking that we're gonna beat the Tigers. I'll be completely honest, but I'm just excited to see how we look against the number one team in the entire country.
Me too, man. Me too. And you know, the last thing I'll say about your birthday is 26 was the age. Like, I feel like my year of being 26 was the year that I aged like 30 years physically, like my body, you know? Yeah. Right. So good luck, man.
I felt that way about 25. And
yeah.
If that was 25, my God, I may be completely bald by this time next year.
Yeah, man. Like,
be going out and
my year 26, I just like my knees don't work, my back doesn't work, and I'm sure it's all downhill from here. So
yeah, I I'm on a slippery slope to hell right now.
Well, I'm with you, bro. I'm just a year ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll let you know how it is when I get to hell. I'll send you a text. Like, hey, it's
deal, good deal. Okay,
it's all right.
We have a special guest for you guys today. Yeah. He's been wanting to come on the show for a long time. Every Canes fan knows him. What do you say we get him on the line?
For sure, for sure. Danny, how are you, brother?
Good. Can you hear me?
I can hear you well.
Danny, what's going on, brother?
Yeah, except for a bad back, I'm okay. Clean hurt tonight.
Good deal, good deal. So we now welcome on a very special guest, a good friend, Danny Boy Kane. Every Canes fan knows him. Danny, how's the season treating you so far?
Good.
Awesome. So our number seven Canes in the country. I don't want to talk about Clemson just yet. I want to ask, you know, your thoughts on the first three games, because I know you know this team very well. You go in detail when you talk about them. What are you liking so far when you look at the Canes so far?
Things I like is, number one, I like the fact we're running the football better. I like the offensive lineup. They're doing a much better job, but I'm also liking Derek King. What can you say about this young man?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Especially when you look at last year and how abysmal the offense was last year and all the problems that we had going on in 2019, it's very refreshing to see a quarterback being led, or you know, this team being led by a quarterback like De'Aaron King. How do you think? What are your thoughts on Rhett Lashley, the new offensive coordinator, and you know, scoring points and everything like that?
Absolutely, a complete night and day. I'll tell you, I was at a few games last year, and to me, the one that stands out is the Florida game last year. If you remember that game, you will notice two important things. One, you will notice, look, we nearly beat Florida with a subpar offense. Remember that? You remember we nearly beat Florida with a subpar offense?
Yeah.
And that was without. Look, Lashley.
Yeah.
We had Lashley last year. I guarantee you, we beat Florida. We don't lose close games. And yeah. Also ditto for Jose.
Yeah, I think Jose's been huge for us this year. I mean, when was the last time you felt this confident going into a field goal attempt?
Let me tell you something. I'll go back to said Florida game last year. Bubba missed a chip shot.
Yeah.
Jose does not miss those.
Yeah. I got to pour one out for Bubba real quick. I feel bad for the kid.
Yeah, I feel bad for the young man, no question. But at the same time, that's a major upgrade.
Oh, Jose, absolutely.
It's like almost automatic, even from 50 yards plus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go
ahead.
Oh, you're fine. I'm just saying, like, that upgrade, that's from, like, worst in the country at kicking to probably the best. I mean, if any kickers go in the draft, you have to think that Jose is going to be the top one.
Oh, no question about it. No question about it.
Yeah, it's been just goes to show you how important kickers are to winning and how much of a difference they can make on a football team. Danny, when you were watching the so we played UAB so far, then we played Louisville, then obviously Florida State. Which game has stood out to you the most so far in this 2020 season?
Wow, I'd have to say of the three, I've got to say FSU because we were – and even – yes, FSU's a down team. But, my goodness, could you not be as dominant as we were against FSU?
Yeah.
And when was the last time you could say we were dominant against FSU?
I've never seen it like that.
Yeah, I've never seen it either.
The only other time, Marsh, I remember was 2001.
You
remember that game? I was there. We won. We struggled in the first half, but then in the second half, we found another gear and won going away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a very, very long time. I mean, obviously we beat them now 4 straight years, but just like you say, it's been a very long time since we have put Florida State away and like we completely dominated and it was no question about it. When you look at the defense, I know we've talked about the offense a little bit. When you look at the defense, what have your thoughts been? I know it was tough. Losing Gregory Rousseau heading into the season. We don't have Mike Pinkney, no Shaq Quarterman. What are your thoughts on the defense? A lot of people think they look a little slow. Some people are very happy with it. What do you think of the defense, Dan?
I'll tell you, it's completely different. Completely different. I mean, I like the way the backers are, but you know what really impresses me, Marsh? How about that front four?
Yeah.
How about that front four? And even without Big Greg, you got Q, you have Jalen, got Jay. And you have, I think, JHH, who has done a tremendous job. I mean, the JHH I refer to as Harrison Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Just for the record. But, yeah, let me tell you, our front four has been dominant, has been dominating. But the one concern I do have, Marsh, is on the back end. I do have some concerns there.
Okay. Well, what do you mean?
And what I mean by that, DJ's been a little off a little bit off. And I say another one that's been off but not so much the safeties. I'm worried more on the corners.
Yeah.
With DJ and ABJ on that side and ABJ. And not having Gervin in the first half, and like you say, you'll get the closest in a minute, but Gervin Hall's done a hell of a job this year.
Yeah.
But Bubba to me looks like an All-American. Like everything that he would. Remember came from the West Coast?
Yep.
Yeah.
Everybody thought, "Hey, this was the real deal." This was the real deal. Now, I don't know, wasn't he hurt before he came here?
So he had some off the field issues actually before he came to Miami when he was at USC. So he didn't play in 2018 and then obviously 2019 he didn't play in the first 5 games due to, he got to Miami late. But then it really sucked because once he got in, he was really good for about 4 or 5 games, and then he got hurt for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you, I've not seen one issue off the field with this young man since he's been here.
Yep.
Not one. And that is refreshing. Yeah. And that's the Bubba Bolden I've been wanting to see since he got here.
Yeah, I mean, he's healthy now, and we finally get to see him. I've been hyping him up. We all have ever since he came from USC. I've been telling people, like, this could be the next great safety at Miami, and he is – it's just great to see that he's finally healthy and everything like that. A player that a lot of people are – have some mixed feelings about is Zach McLeod, because, you know, he's been making tackles. He actually is tied for the lead in sacks on the team, but, you know, a lot of people want to see more speed at the linebacker position. What do you think about that, Danny?
I got to have sack in it. To me, it's leadership, but like you said, I got to have more speed there.
Yeah.
But I like what BJJ is doing there, too.
Mm-hmm.
BJJ could come in there. But to me, somebody keeps telling me about this kid, Huff, and Brooksy. You know,
mm-hmm.
Don't be shocked if on Saturday night you see them get a lot of playing time.
Yeah. Especially against a team like Clemson with so much speed, and it's a team that whose offense is so good. I mean, you watch Clemson's offense, and a lot of people say, oh, I'm not that impressed with them. I just say, you are crazy. I mean,
they are the real deal. They have won two of the last four titles. They have won 24 or 25 in a row against the ACC. Trevor Lawrence has won, I think, 35 in a row in the regular season.
Wow.
They are 44-2 against the ACC since Dobble's been there in 2014.
That's incredible.
Is amazing. And I'm just looking at the Fox Carolina forecast on Saturday night. There is heavy rain in the forecast on Saturday night.
Wow.
How do you think that bodes for us? I mean, so here's my concern is I've been worried about the middle of our defense. You know, I think Jared Harrison Hunt has been a revelation at defensive tackle. You know, he's been really wonderful for us, especially in passing situations. But I still think we've been a little soft with run defense between the tackles, and then also our linebackers have just struggled mightily, in my opinion, in run situations. So I can't decide if this helps us or not, because obviously we have an incredible running game. We have De'Eriq King. We have the three-headed monster at running back with Cam and Jalen Knighton and Don Chaney. The only problem is that we're going up against the single best ball carrier in college football, and we have a very flimsy middle of the defense. I'm worried that Travis Etienne could go for 100 yards by halftime is my biggest fear.
Yeah, and by the way, 19,000 at Clemson on Saturday night, just so you know.
Okay.
That's what this. I'm just reading the report. That was from early in the year, but look for about 19,000 on Saturday night in Death Valley. Although they may increase that. I'm hearing some. I don't know if they're going to increase that or not. I don't know if any of you heard anything about that.
I haven't heard too much about it. I know when I was watching the game on their Clemson, Virginia this past Saturday, it sounded loud there. I mean, I know it wasn't sold out, but you could definitely tell that. You know, Clemson had a little bit of a home field advantage, so it's going to be a big game. And those Clemson fans, they love their football. So if 19,000 can go, 19,000 will be there. I mean, they don't care about the rain or anything like that. So, and who knows, it could be even more, because I mean, in the South, they're,
that's a big deal.
Yeah, their restrictions on COVID are a little bit less than you know, the rest of the country. So you may even see more fans than that. I want to ask both of you guys, Danny. I'll ask you first.
Sure.
The defensive tackles. I'm a big Jared Harrison Hunt fan. I think Nesta has been playing very, very well. My concern is with Big John Ford. Do you think that would you guys like to see, you know, Jordan Miller get the start or Harrison Hunt get the start? Because I feel like John Ford has been kind of underperforming so far this year. What do you think about that, Danny?
I got to tell you, I think we definitely have to have Marsh without question. I need to see the front four step up in this game and pressure Sunshine. Definitely have to pressure Sunshine in this ball game. I mean, there's no other way to say it.
Yeah. What do you think, Jordan?
I agree. I think Nesta's gotten better each game, which is good. You know, I wasn't very impressed. I know some people were impressed with him at UAB. I wasn't feeling it. But, you know, he's gotten better each week, and I thought he was a monster against Florida State. So I would start Harrison Hunt. I mean, like I said, you know, we've really struggled. Our defense has a soft underbelly is how I'd put it. And we're very vulnerable up the middle, and it could really kill us in this game. So, we need our tackles to excel in run situations, not just passing situations in this game. And we need our linebackers to step up. So, yeah, I agree with you, though. I would like to see the change to Harrison Hunt over Jordan Miller. I mean, what about you, Marsh?
I think this game is going to show us really what – not just obviously how good or how far away we are from a team like Clemson or how good we are. It's going to show us a lot about this front four and this defense, because I've said for the last few weeks that the key in this game is first off shutting down ETN, the running back, because he is so good. I mean, I think he has the most touchdowns by a running back in ACC history. He's an All-American. He's a first-round draft pick, no doubt. That is going to be the key. You have to shut down the running game first. And also, you have to watch Trevor Lawrence running the football, because that dude can move. He can't just throw the football. He can True. Run as well. So Harrison Hunt is really, really good in pass in pass rushing, and Nesta, kind of his skill set, he can play against the run, he can play against the pass. I need to see John Ford step up. I need them to clog the middle. And I'm very excited to watch Jalen Phillips and Quincy Roche, because Clemson, their offensive line is one of the weaker points on their team. A team like Clemson, they don't have many weak points, but they do struggle on their offensive line, also in the secondary. Danny, how impressed are you with Quincy Roche and Jalen Phillips so far?
Definitely like them. Definitely a big difference. Everyone thought we would lose something when we lost Big Greg, but seeing Jalen and Q on the edges, just having their way with offensive tackles. I mean, wow. That's good, as advertised. And Jalen is finally healthy. Because remember when he came out of UCLA, this guy was going to be a stud. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Before the UCLA thing. And I believe he transferred to Miami right after he left UCLA.
Yep.
And that was it. And then he had the city year, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. Okay, so he had the city year. So when he sits a year, he's healthy. He's as advertised. As advertised, 5-star.
Yep. Yeah, I would really like to see our ends actually get to the quarterback, because so Phillips has done an incredible job of applying pressure on pretty much every down. Rewatching all these games, like pretty much every time the play is over, like Jalen Phillips is within arm's reach of the QB, which is fantastic, right? Like that's, you can't ask for much more. However, I think to be successful in this game, he's actually going to have to get some hits in, to rattle Lawrence a little bit. We're going to need some actual sacks, because our sack production is way down. And that could be other teams game planning, for the fact that we have two elite edge rushers. They're trying to get the ball out quick, just game planning around that fact. But I mean, we just need to figure out a way to do it, man. We have to figure out a way to hit Trevor Lawrence a few times, because he's just too good. I mean, he's the best quarterback prospect since like Andrew Luck, perhaps.
Yeah.
And, you can't give him time to throw. You can't let him be comfortable. You know, you can't let him have a clean pocket or even, just throw without getting hit. I really think we need to hit him almost 10 times, if not more.
Mm-hmm. And you notice when Virginia Virginia got to him, did a pretty good job for the most part, getting to him with their front. And you notice he was pressured a few times in that game.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, and so some stats, and I was doing some research. When you give Trevor Lawrence, if he has time to throw, that dude can make any throw on the football field. He has such an incredible arm. I know last year he struggled in the first half of the year with interceptions, but I think in the last eight games he threw 22 touchdowns and zero interceptions, and he hasn't thrown an interception since. I think he has 9 touchdowns this year, no picks, and a very high completion percentage. If he has time to throw, he's going to get it to Amari Rodgers and all those receivers. But when you pressure him against Virginia, he was 2 for 9 on his passes when he was being pressured. And so, that's my thing, man. If Clemson has a weak offensive line, you have to exploit that. You have to take advantage of it, because that is on defense. If you have a chance to beat Clemson, these are the things you have to do. You have to take advantage of that weak offensive line, and you have to take advantage of that secondary. And so, and going back to the offense, it's really going to come down to this offensive line. If they can open up holes for Cam Harris and Jalen Knighton, and if they can protect De'Ara King. And also, I'm really interested to see if De'Ara King scrambles a little bit more this year this game, because Virginia's quarterback, he ran it a few times. I think he rushed for almost 90 yards against Clemson. Yeah. And he sure as hell isn't as fast as De'Ara King.
Yeah.
So what do you think about that, Jordan?
So I predicted on our last episode, maybe it was the one before with Roman, but I've been anticipating that Rhett Lashley will finally unveil the quarterback running plays this week. I think he's been hiding them in the back pocket. I mean, if you notice, we haven't done a ton of designed runs for De'Ara King. Pretty much all of his highlight runs this year have been broken plays that he escaped the pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, we have called a few designed runs here and there, but I think we see them in full force. I think, like, if it's going to happen, I think this is the game that De'Ara King is thrust onto the national scene as, like, this dude is an elite athlete. You know, he's not just good. Like, he's going to be running away from defenders, you know, with lightning speed, and people are going to be like, holy crap, he is a very good NFL athlete. So that's what I'm anticipating this game is the unveiling of a new portion of the playbook where De'Ara King is just burning teams with his legs. I mean, this is why we brought him here, right? So pull out all the stops. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think we're going to protect him from getting hit as much, because, like, you know, this is what he's here for.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Danny, going into Saturday, are you confident? Cause I know a lot of Canes fans on Twitter and social media, they're out here like acting like Clemson is just another team. And I'm telling them, keep your composure. I know we've looked good through three games, but I mean, Clemson's a different animal. This is the elite of college football. And I think there's a chance we could go out and pull the upset, but personally, and I know a lot of fans don't like me for saying this, I'm not expecting a win, but I think we can make it close. And that's really, really what I want to say. I want us to look competitive against the number one team in the country. Are you going into Saturday? Are you confident? Are you nervous? How are you feeling?
I'm going to tell you the way I see this, Marsh. For us to win, we have to do is get the chain out a minimum twice. That's the way I see it. It's got to come out a minimum of twice. Yeah. Anything above that, I think we win for sure. But under no circumstances can we turn the ball over. And it's going to be a wet track on Saturday night. As I said, heavy rain is in the forecast. So in that scenario, I need to see the running game be a little more prominent than I have the first couple games of the year. And the running game's been there. The running game has been there. But I need to see the running game really take off on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's the way I see it. That's my key. Also, we've got to pressure Sunshine. Because, you know, like you said, Marsh, you give him time, and I'm a little concerned about our secondary. If he gets time to throw, He's gonna pick us apart.
Yeah.
That cannot happen. And it, well, and guys, did you see also ETN's run against Virginia?
Yeah.
Did you see the run where they had him dead to rights, and ETN just got the TD?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was pretty amazing. He's pretty damn good.
Yeah, he should have been like he should have declared for the draft and been the first pick out of any running back. I mean, not first overall, but he should have been the first running back taken in this most recent draft, in my opinion. I don't know why he went back to school. I can't say enough good things about him, but he's just an absolute incredible player in college football. So, I mean, I almost don't. You don't know who you want to make beat you, honestly.
Yeah.
Because you could say, like, you know, we need to get to the quarterback, force him to run the ball. But they're very capable of ETN putting up over 200 yards and a few touchdowns on us. And, you know, yeah, like, destroying us with the run game. So it's hard to formulate a strategy. I'll be interesting to see what Manny and Blake come up with. But I don't know. One thing I wanted to ask you guys is what do you think about us being ranked this high? In the past, we haven't dealt very well with this. You know, like we always, I don't know, kind of puke all over our own chest whenever, you know, like, have you ever seen the video of the Bills fan that's just like throwing up into his hand and it's just going all over him at the football game?
Oh, boy. I have not.
Like, that's us. That's us whenever we're ranked high. So
the last time we were ranked this high, do you remember 2013 when we went to Tallahassee?
Ooh,
number
boy.
Seven, as a matter of fact. Florida State was number three.
Yeah.
And even do you remember what Kirk Herbstreit said the week after we beat Carolina on that Thursday night?
I don't.
I think he said something to the effect of, this team is not the real Miami Hurricanes to some extent. Like,
yeah,
this team was like a fraud, etc. They haven't proved anything. Turn enough, Herbie was right.
Yep.
After that game, we totally collapsed that year.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to see this again, especially after what we did the first three games, and also the fact that, hey, we know Clemson's the measuring stick. I want to know where we are by 10:30 Saturday night.
Yeah. And Marsh, to your point, you said, you know, some people aren't taking this game seriously. Like, Clemson is the class of college football. Like, they have won two of the last four titles. They've won is in the last 5 years, they've won as many titles as Alabama has. So, yeah. I mean, we're really going against the elite, you know,
elite of the elite.
Yeah. Clemson has pulled even with Alabama right now in terms of how good they are as a program. So the fact that, you know, just kind of writing this off like they're beatable, whatever, it's like, one, all their players have been there before. You know, this won't be the most intimidating environment for any of their players that aren't true freshmen. So they have the experience that we don't. They have coaches that have coached in this situation. They have you know, Trevor Lawrence, who's, I mean, he's won a national championship before.
He's won two, I believe. I believe he's won two.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I just don't agree with people that are taking this casually, because, like, there's, who knows? We don't know if we have that extra gear yet. You know, you're kind of seeing it with the Heat and the Lakers in the NBA finals, right? Is like, the Heat look good. They look like they belong there, but there's a certain element that they don't have that the Lakers do. And I mean, if you guys catch the drift that I'm throwing out there, is like, there's a certain mental intensity that goes into the biggest stage like this. And, you know, we don't have time to figure out if we have it or not. Like, we just have to show up there with it. And who knows? Who knows? We've never been in this situation. We don't know if we have it.
I've got to see where we are. Like, I'm going to dare say this, Jordan and Marsh. This is going to be, by far, the biggest game of Manny's career to date.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll say the same thing for Baker. He has to call the game of his life on defense Saturday night.
I hope he's not calling anything on Saturday night.
And to that end, Jordan, yeah. Manny said, did you hear what Manny said this week? I'm going to be more involved in the defense.
Good. Thank goodness.
He's not, but let's make no mistake. Manny knows how big this game is. This game really is. And he is going to make sure he leaves no stone unturned in this game.
Yeah, good. I mean, if Manny has to call the plays, like, good. You know, I mean, who cares about Blake Baker's feelings? I mean, honestly.
Yeah.
I would give him about 2 to 3 series on Saturday night.
Yeah. I would trade this game for his career and all of his progeny. I don't care about him. I want to win this game.
Yeah. Well, I going back to your question, Jordan, I think the number 7 ranking has a lot to do with just the fact that, you know, the Pac-12 and Big Ten, they're not playing. So I think that plays into it a lot. Do I think that we're the seventh best team in the entire country, all conferences playing? No. Do I think that by the end of the season we can be a top 10 team? Yeah, I do. I think that because I really like what you said, Danny, about the 2013 season, because I remember that Carolina game and, you know, Dallas Crawford had to, you know, score that winning touchdown to, you know, give us the win. And there were also some other games like the Wake Forest game that year where we barely hung on to win. And you can just tell, you could tell that that team was not heading into that Tallahassee game against the number 3 Seminoles, a team that would eventually win the national championship that year. I did not think we were going to win. I didn't think it was going to be close. And, you know, I turned out to be right. But the biggest, you know, what pissed me off the most was not that game. It's how we collapsed the rest of the year. So my biggest thing on Saturday, win or lose, it cannot. That's not what this season is about. The season is not about a game in mid-October. It's how we finish in January.
Yeah.
And so it's a measuring stick game, man. We're not at that level yet, but we can prove on Saturday just how close we really could be to being at that level. And I wanted to ask one more question to both you guys. Since you brought up that, you know, it's going to be raining on Saturday, Danny, what are your thoughts on Mark Pope still being named the starting punt returner?
I'll tell you this right now. In a game of this magnitude, Marsh and Jordan, Mark Pope's going to have a very short leash.
Yeah.
And when you talk about protecting the football, ball security, that's going to, against a team like this, it is vital you do not turn the ball over.
Yeah.
You do not give Clemson short fields.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
you cannot give them short fields. You give them short fields, it's like you're playing with fire.
Yeah. I mean, you're essentially lighting yourself on fire. You know, like,
absolutely.
Like they're just too good. I mean, honestly, I would be tempted to just not return any kicks. Like, I mean, yes, that could flip the game for us. Say, like, Mark Pope or Xavier Restrepo or someone was able to return a kick, you know, for a touchdown or something, that would be a game changer. But I mean, I don't know, man. I'm tempted to say, like, don't even throw a returner out there.
Like, the biggest thing for me is that if Pope does fumble again or make a mistake, that's on Manny. That's on the head. That's on the coaches, because you've seen him struggle already. And I put Rooster back there, put Restrepo. I don't care, but if he fumbles again, that's on you, Manny.
Yeah.
So
and in a game of this magnitude, that cannot happen.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, because against teams like UAB and FSU, I mean, we Pope fumbled that punt and FSU took over on our 25-20 yard line, and then they turned it over. Clemson will not do that. We cannot make those mistakes against a team that'll make us pay dearly for that.
Didn't Jalen Knighton have a fumble last week?
Yeah, it was last week. Yeah, he did have it 2 weeks ago against State, but that really didn't matter.
Yeah.
This game, it will matter.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not sure I trust anyone right now. Like, I mean, this is kind of how I am, right? Like, I'm a little bit.
I do trust Pope on kick returns, not on punts.
I don't know if I trust him at all.
I do trust him. I do trust him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. It just, here's the thing, though, is our, you know, our friend John Michaels, he has the saying, scared money don't make money. And he's right. You know, if we do what I suggested and we don't even throw a punt returner out there, that's not the kind of attitude that it takes to win these games. Like,
yeah.
So admittedly, you know, like playing conservative like that, you just can't beat elite teams. But on the flip side, like one fumble from Mark Pope could just bury us early, you know? Yeah,
and against a team like that, and remember, it's going, like I said, it's going to be a wet track Saturday night, a sloppy track. So yeah. To me, protecting the football is going to be vital.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows what the right answer is? I mean, that's why I don't make $4 million, right?
Yeah, true.
Like, Manny better have a better answer than me.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so Danny, last question for you. Sure. Give us a score prediction for Saturday.
I got to tell you, Marsh, this is one. I never like to make a pick, Marsh, until late in the week. But since I'm on here tonight, here's my thing. Are we ready for the big stage? Yes. Are we ready to beat an elite team like this? Yes. The question with this team, can they do it? It's going to pain me to say this, but we get a little closer, but we're not over the hump yet, in my opinion. I think it's going to be a white-knuckle type of fight that's going to come down. And Dabo usually wins those. Like Jordan and Marshy, like you said, big stage. Dabo's been here before. Their players have been here before. Our guys haven't.
Yeah.
I think that on the grandest stage in prime time, and we've been on prime time now. This will be, I think, the fourth time this year we're in prime time, and the third time on national television. I think it's going to be close, but I think if we don't turn the ball over, and if we get the chain out twice minimum, I think we win. But my prediction, very close. I'm gonna go Clemson because they've been here before. Clemson 31, Canes 27.
Okay.
I'm saying like pretty much the same. Honestly, I actually gave that same score prediction last night when someone asked me. So
yeah,
that's a great point.
So I change. You know, I'm famous for changing my predictions by a few points here and there as the week goes on. You know, I just do it by feel, I guess. But right now I'm feeling 41-34 for Clemson, but I think that last score for us comes in garbage time. So I actually think it's a 14-point game. I think we score at the end to make it closer than it seems. But I think that's a competitive score. You know, even if we were to lose 27-41, like, I'd be happy with that, right? So, yeah, I think 41-34, Clemson wins, and it's a little more convincing than the score would have you.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see it. Okay, Danny, thank you so much for coming on, brother. It was awesome talking to you, man. I hope everything's going great. You're a great guy, and you've always been very nice to us. And so hope you're doing well, man.
Hey, thank you, man. I look forward to coming back again soon.
Absolutely, yep, thanks, brother. Danny. Cool, man. Well, anything to add? I mean, I know you're headed off to a birthday dinner with the family, but I hope you enjoyed your birthday episode, Marsh.
Yeah, Danny was awesome, man. He's a good man. He's a very good man, and he knows his stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, he's plugged in as anyone. So
definitely. But we'll be back on Thursday. We're planning on hopefully like 2 to 3 guests. I'm trying to work on a Clemson guy to come on the show.
Cool.
We already got one Canes guy. I want to get like 2 to 3 guys on because it is a big game, and it's the biggest regular season game. I don't want to say it's bigger than Notre Dame, but I don't know.
I think it is.
I honestly do.
Yeah.
I feel like this is one of the biggest regular season games that we've played in a very, very long time. When was the last time that we played a number one team in the regular season? I have no idea.
Oh, I mean, it probably would have been Florida State, but we weren't competitive in those years, so it didn't matter.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is the first time that we played a number one team where it's like we had aspirations for the end of the year. We weren't struggling to make a bowl game so that we could get our doors blown off by West Virginia or Washington State. You know, we were like, now we're thinking about New Year's Six.
Yeah.
You know, we're licking our chops at getting a chance to play Florida in the Orange Bowl.
Definitely. Definitely. Oh. I love it, man. I love it. I'm very, very excited for Saturday. Yeah. I'm not nervous at all. Like, because I know that if we lose this game, our season's not over. And we can still come back and win. Even if we lose this game, we can still win out and go 10-1 in the regular season. We have the talent and the scheme to do it.
Yeah, we are still eligible for the playoffs if we win this game, or even if we lose.
Yeah,
and we need to keep that attitude. Because, exactly. One, it's a weird year. Like, Ohio State's only going to play, what, like 8 games? So who's to say that a 10-2 Miami Hurricanes team that has lost to Clemson twice doesn't get in over an 8-0 Ohio State? I mean, they probably don't, but who knows? Like, these teams should be penalized for only playing 8 teams, and half of them are Illinois and Northwestern and, you know, like, whatever. Like, those teams suck. You know, like, if we beat Louisville, who is ranked, if we beat UNC, who's, you know, a top 10 team right now, if we beat some of these teams, you know, it's too bad that Pitt lost. It would have been nice to add another ranked win onto the schedule. Mm-hmm. But if we beat these teams, especially a top 10 UNC team, and our only loss is to Clemson, we just had the misfortune of playing them twice, then there's an argument. And, you know, what if we beat Clemson in the ACC championship? So.
Definitely.
And you know, like, say we're really impressive. What if the tiebreaker has it fall that Notre Dame and Clemson play for the ACC championship and Clemson gets in, but then we're sitting there at 10-1 and we've played immaculately all season? You know, we beat a top 10 UNC team. We have a few ranked wins. We played Clemson competitively. And, you know, we look better by the end of the year. We're a well-oiled machine. Who's to say that we don't sneak into the top 4 as a 10-1 team, even though we missed out on the ACC championship? I think that's not unheard of.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Kay, is there anything else we gotta go over?
Nope. Just happy birthday to you, man.
Thank you so much, brother. Really do appreciate it. And thank you to all you guys, again, for wishing me a happy birthday. I love all you. Love all of my Canes fans. So we will see you guys on Thursday. And until then, go Canes.
Go Canes.
This has been the Forza Podcast.